Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
All right, let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you have given to us. We thank you for the many opportunities that we still have to sit and receive from your Spirit through your Word. We pray that your wisdom from your Word will be impressed upon our hearts and minds this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapters 7 through 12, verse 8. Are the wisdom sayings, the Proverbs of Solomon. In light of the fact that everything is vanity, havel, we know what that means by now. It means everything is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, from last time, the application of wisdom to the strategies of life, we saw in verses 1 through 4 the concept of life. That is the fact that you reap what you sow. It's just a law that God has instituted into life itself. Verses 5 and 6, the creed of life. Put everything into whatever you're doing at the time because you really don't know what is going to prosper and what is not going to because of the way God has life to be. He has left life in a broken condition, broken because of sin, so that we cannot put expectations on anything or anyone. In verses 7 through 8, the course of life. And so he begins to talk about how the years of life change and how one ages. And then verses 9 and 10 that we left off with last time, the counsel of life for youth. Chapter 12 is a continuation of this, only in a different perspective. Last week in verses 9 and 10 on the counsel of life for youth, he lays a foundation for living. He gave four commands. First of all, as a young person, rejoice in your young age. That is, be satisfied with the Lord in your young age. And we're going to see today why that is. Secondly, let your heart make you pleased in the days of your young age and when you're walking in the ways of your heart and the sights of your eyes. Make sure you're not pleasing. Your heart's pleasure is not satisfied by what you see and what your heart desires, but rather that your heart seeks to please the Lord, even starting at a young age. Because, as we saw at the end of verse 9, there will be judgment coming for everyone, even for those of young age. So in light of this judgment in verse 10, the third command is turn aside anger from your heart. Young people, in fact, the younger of age, the more the anger. Seems like young people are getting angrier all the time at a younger age. Turn anger away from your hearts, and fourthly, and cause evil to pass from your flesh. Don't reach out to satisfy the flesh with the evil that is available and presented to you. We saw from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul told young Timothy, a young pastor, let no one despise your youth, but rather be an example, a pattern of believers in your speech, in your lifestyle, in your agape love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be an example of the believer. So young people should not use the excuse, well, we're just young people. I mean, that's a statement of fact. But believers are to be, as young people, are to be examples of what young people in Christ should be. He says, because, the reason why, the childhood and dawn of life. He's picturing life under the sun, if you remember, here on the earth. And so here in the end, in chapters 11 and 12, Solomon is presenting when there's sunrise at early dawn, that represents somebody in their young or youthful age. And then life under the sun itself is, of course, our lifespan. And then sunset is the twilight years and the end of one's life. And so he says here, because the childhood and dawn of life are vanity, havel, meaning here today, gone tomorrow. Before you know it, your youth is over. And you enter in to the more senior years. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 for today, the title of the chapter is The Application of Wisdom to the Overview of Life. To the overview of life, both in this section and then verses 9 to 14 for next week. In the first 8 verses of chapter 12, the counsel of life, before in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 11, it was the counsel of life for youth. This is the counsel of life from the perspective of old age. Notice it's the perspective. In chapter 11, he was showing the perspective from a young person's perspective. Now he's looking back at the youth from the perspective of old age. The senior time of life. And if you're wondering, or if you should think that during the study, think to yourself, why are we studying stuff like this, old age, and the senior time of life on Christmas morning? I couldn't help but think this week, how many elderly people fit this category? They have reached the twilight years of their life, and their human doesn't function much anymore. Even today, sitting in a nursing home or convalescent home or somewhere, having nobody or nothing and just watching the world celebrate with family and friends and gifts and parades and whatever we do here in America when it comes to Christmas time, and they have nothing. They have nobody. They used to. See, that's what this text is saying. See, it used to not be that way. Just like for us now, today. Someday, we'll look back and say, well, I remember the way it used to be. We used to have fellowship on Sunday mornings. You realize how many people are Christians, do know the Lord, but physically they can't get up or get out and go to church or have fellowship with believers who are gathering together today. I know there are groups that come to homes and go to nursing homes during this time of the year, but there are some people that can't get up to go to hear the word. And that's what this message is all about. The perspective of old age is you young people, while you still have the human faculties and the capabilities, look what it says in verse 1. Remember your Creator while you're young. Why would he? See, in chapter 11, it was rejoice, you young people. Find your rejoicing in the Lord. But now it's remember the Creator. Why? Because when we're young and have all that energy and all that opportunity, and we don't have the physical limitations, we have a tendency to be very, very busy. even with the notion of saying, you know, one of these days life is going to slow down and then I'll get back to the Lord. Then I'll get back to His Word. Then I can make it priority. The problem is that when you reach that point, your human faculties have failed so much that you can hardly pick up your Bible or hardly concentrate. All of those human faculties that were used in the pursuit of the Lord and His Word have diminished. And that's what Solomon's doing. He's looking back and he's telling young people, and that's anybody that still has the human ability to receive from God's Spirit through His Word. That's anybody, young people especially. And he's talking about to young people, to the younger age, because they're the ones that have a tendency to be always on the go, always planning activities that interfere with the Word of God. And so he says, remember, we have the introduction in verse 1 to these 8 verses. There's actually a text marker for us. It's translated while in this text. Remember your creator in the days of your young age, while the days of evil will not come, nor the years approach when you will say, there is no pleasure in them for me. The little word translated while is actually 3 words in Hebrew, and it marks out the sections. It's a pattern marker. So verse 1 is the introduction. Verses 2 through 5, also marked by while in verse 2, is a section on human health. And then verses 6 and 7, another marker where the same 3 Hebrew words are translated while, and that's for the section on death. And then we have verse 8 that finishes out his section on Proverbs. And remember, the word "and" shows it's a continuation from his message to the youth at the end of chapter 11. Remember, the chapter divisions were not put there by the writers. They were put there by the Bible makers in order to make it easier to find. And remember your Creator in the days of your young age. Why? Because those are the years that young people just get too busy. Catch up with you later. I can always do it later when I have more time. While, 2 things. While the days of evil, ra in the Hebrew for evil actually means adversity. While the days of the adversity will not come, and secondly, nor the years approach when you will say there is no pleasure in them for me. So remember him before these things happen, before the days of adversity approach. Now, young people would say, boy, I'm in the days of adversity now as a young person. And the older generation would tell you, no, you haven't even started. You haven't even started. Oh, there are the struggles of adjustment. There are the struggles of dealing with life. But the stresses and pressures of responsibility, and then facing the time in life when health begins to fail you. I was telling somebody this week on the phone 2 days ago, it just seems like every year there's something else, you know? I'm like an old used car. You know, when you consider, you know, is it cheaper just to keep the old one patched up? Or do you buy a new one and make payments? You know, it's one of those things. But the older you get, it's just that things start wearing out naturally. No matter how healthy you keep yourself and the food you eat and the exercise, body parts just wear out. Health declines. I don't know why they put me in there. Declines. Using that for But before these days of adversity, in fact, somebody said the other day, somebody told us a couple of years ago, a senior citizen who was retired and said he had to retire because when you get his age, you only have time to do two things in life. Number one, go to the doctors, and number two, go out to eat. That's it. All your time is spent at the doctors or going out to eat. You got to retire in order to keep things patched up and keep the health systems going. So young people struggle, but the days of adversity have not come yet. So remember your Creator now. Lay the foundation for your life now. Don't let that youthful energy take you away from your Creator. And before those days come when you say concerning those days, I have no pleasure in them. It's like someday there will be a day when you just look out and say, you know, I just don't feel like doing what I used to do. I don't have any desire for it. I find no pleasure in it. Before those days come and you're in depression, remember your Creator. In verses 2 through 5, the section on human health, and it starts out with, while the sun will not be dark. In other words, remember your Creator. During the time when the sun will not be darkened, nor the light and the moon and the stars, nor have the clouds returned after the rain. You have to understand that he's using all Hebrew poetical terms here to describe these days of adversity that come as you get older. And he's expressing these things in Hebrew poetry. So the sun is still bright for you, but there's some people that even today, after the storm yesterday and today the sun is out, to some people today is still a very darkened day. And the light and the moon and the stars just don't mean what they used to. So start remembering the Lord before the opportunities are limited and while you can still function, because one day life will begin to be limited for you. And nor have the clouds returned after the rain. Very interesting statement. To the younger people, there's a storm here. It's all metaphorical, but using a literal storm. Yesterday was a storm, today the sun comes out. In a few days, the clouds will return and there'll be another storm. But as you get older, it just seems like the sun never comes back out again after the storm. That it's just one storm after another. Remember your Creator before the clouds have returned after the rain. And then starting with verse 3, there are 12 things about human health, all expressed in Hebrew poetry. Remember your Creator in the day that the guards of the house will tremble. The house being the physical body. The guards of the house, and you can do some research on your own, because there are a lot of terms here that would take several hours to research, so I'm just passing it on to you, is that the guards of the house in Hebrew poetry are your hands and your arms. The strength of the house. So remember, in the days when the guards of the house will tremble, they're going to be weakened. Secondly, concerning the legs, and the men of strength have bent over. Men of strength is a Hebrew term for the legs, like pillars cannot hold up like they used to. And you should know what this is, the third one. And the grinders have ceased because they have become few. He's using the grinding mechanism at the grinding mill for a term for your teeth. And the grinders have ceased because they have become few. What you say there, sonny? You know, one of those. Fourthly, the eyes. And the ones looking in the lattice windows have become darkened or dim. Picturing people looking out of the house, out of the latticed windows, and yet it's become darkened and dim when their eyesight. Fifthly, verse 4, the ears. And the double doors, not just doors, but in the Hebrew, and the double doors have been shut in the street. When the sound of the grinding mill will be low. Not that the mill itself has lowered the audible noise, but you can't hear it, the grinding of the mill, like you used to. Sixthly, insomnia. And one will rise up to the sound of the bird. Can't sleep. Hear a bird outside. You're up. You can't sleep. Seventhly, high-pitched sounds. And all of the daughters of the song will be brought low. The high sound of the women singing make it difficult to hear the high-pitched sounds anymore. And the audible reception is lower for you. Eighthly, the fear of heights in verse 5. Also from a high place they will be afraid. Now I've always had an uneasy feeling about heights. I don't like heights, don't like flying. But as you get older, you have more of a fear of heights, more of a fear of being in places where you're not on solid ground. As verse 9 says, and there are terrors in the way. Instead of having the confidence of a strong young man saying, bring it on, take it on, I'm going to go out there and face life, all of a sudden you begin to lose your confidence. And you have an awareness of your human frailty, and you realize that there are a lot of threats out there because now you're very vulnerable. There are terrors in the way. And tenthly, and the almond tree will blossom. Now the almond tree in Hebrew poetry, the almond tree puts out a white blossom. And the white blossom with the other dark trees as a background represents white hair. So the white hair of old age. And the almond tree will blossom. And 11th, the capacity to handle life. And the grasshopper will become a burden. Grasshopper's no big deal when you're young. But to an older person, a grasshopper is a big deal. Losing capacities to handle life. And lastly, and desire will cease. Natural appetites diminish. The desires for things that we used to have begin to diminish. And the reason for it all, because mankind is going to his eternal house. So the outward man is perishing, but the inward man, Paul says, is being renewed day by day. We're going to an eternal house. So this house that we live in has got to fail. And the mourners have gone around in the street. So you say, what a depressing presentation. Why would you want to tell young people this? It's to tell them that when you get older, it makes it more difficult to seek the Lord, not easier. Because the human faculties become diminished. So in the younger years, when you have all the energy and the opportunities, use it to remember your Creator instead of satisfying yourself. Because there will come a day when we will not have the opportunity to remember our Creator and to live and to grow. In verses 6 and 7, the section on death, and again it uses poetry to describe death. Listen to what it says. Remember the Creator while the silver cord has not been severed. Hanging by a thread. The lamp is hanging by a silver cord. The light is still on. But one day the silver cord will be severed. The silver cord is a description of the spirit leaving the body when it's severed. Nor the golden bowl will be crushed, golden bowl being the head. And then two things about the circulation system. Nor the pitcher will shatter beside the spring or fountain, nor the wheel will have been crushed at the well. The wheel that turns, that brings up the bucket from the bottom of the well. The circulation system, the fountains, the springs that move. So remember your Creator while you can. While the cord has not been severed, the golden bowl has not been crushed, the pitcher has not been shattered along the springs, nor has the wheel been crushed at the well. That's the end of life. Remember your Creator. Then verse 7 says, then, that is after all of this, the dust will return to the earth as that it has been, and the spirit will return to God who has given it. What a great theological picture of both what the Old Testament and what the New Testament establishes for us. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and Yahweh God formed man from out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We're made out of the dust of the ground. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God said to Adam, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and into dust you will return. Now it is interesting that in verse 7 here, it says, the dust will return to the earth as it always has been, and the Spirit's going to return to God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death for me will be when my spirit leaves my body. The physical body will be left to be buried, and it will eventually turn into dust. But my spirit, at the time of death, which literally means separation, at the time of death, my spirit goes to be with Christ immediately. But you see, my spirit is with Christ, and my body's in the ground. I don't have a body yet in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, Paul describes that when the Lord comes back, There'll be a shout from heaven and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ, the physical bodies, will be raised. And we which are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, says, on that day when we meet the Lord in the air, our physical bodies that were in the ground that are now dust, or the physical bodies that we're in if we're here on the earth when Christ comes, will be changed into a spiritual body. Human bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Human bodies cannot function in the spirit realm. So our bodies will be changed. Not just left behind, but changed. It'll be at that time that people who have died and gone to be with Christ, they will get their new bodies. New spiritual bodies. If we are left here on the earth and we're caught up in the air, our physical bodies will be changed into spiritual bodies. And we will forever be with the Lord. So Solomon has his theology correct. At the time of death, the dust will return to the earth, as it always has been, as it was before we were born, and the Spirit will return to God who has given it. It is interesting, in one of the parables, you remember the rich man who had a farm and he had a good crop one year and decided to tear down his old barns and build bigger ones and put all the good crop into the barns. And he says, now I can retire. So he says to his soul, retire, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, you fool, for tonight your soul will be required back from you. Back. God is the one that gives us our spirit, our life. And one day he's going to call and require it back to stand before him. Back to where we came from. The whole message here is that the spiritual growth experienced during the younger years will determine our spiritual condition during the senior times and when we get older. I can remember when I had a gardening business and I did, over the years, I worked for a few convalescent hospitals. And I can remember the one over where Valley Hospital used to be. And they showed me the outside and I thought I put in a bid for the outside. It was nice and really would enjoy working, keeping it up nice. But then they said that there was also an inside courtyard. Then I had to bring my rake and my barrel and my clippers through the convalescent hospital hallways out into this patio because I have to rake that and keep that clean too. Except that's where they sit the patients all around in the patio on a nice sunny day. So I'm there doing my gardening thing in this little tiny patio area, and all the patients that are out there are just sitting there watching me, talking amongst themselves. Some of them releasing themselves right there onto the pavement because they have no other way to go. Some of them just so out of it that they can't respond to you. They don't even know you're there. Many a time, people would complain, don't get old. No, I don't plan on it. You know, don't get old. because all you're left is in your misery. Well, you know, if you don't have Christ, that's true. I mean, you still have opportunity to receive Christ, but what a terrible thing to say, I reject Christ and I'm going to be here to live till I'm 110 years old. And all that you have to go through. Torment. Not compared to what one will be in after rejecting Christ here on the earth. But I'm going to face those years. Started to face them now. But if the Lord should allow me to live more years, I'm going to face more of those health issues and worldly circumstances. But life for me must be from the inside. My spiritual condition that's going to take me through those things is dependent upon the foundation that I've laid beginning when I received Christ over 50 years ago. So while I still have my health and while I still have the opportunity, I am to remember my Creator, pursue the things of Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. While you still have time, young people think to themselves, I have plenty of time. What Solomon is saying is, no, you don't. It'll come quicker than you think when you will not be able, for one reason or another, to take the time and make the decisions to make following and learning of Christ a priority. In verse 8, the conclusion, interesting, he ends up with the same statement that he made in chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, has said the preacher, the Koheleth. Not a preacher like a minister, but a preacher like a philosopher. Vanity of vanities, has said the preacher, everything is vanity. Everything. In the Hebrew, it's the all things is vanity. Temporary. Everything's like a vapor. Stages of life, stages of our age, our experience. Before you know it, you look back and say, wow, it's a lot of years that I've lived, but you know, it just seems like a vapor. Just like it was yesterday. I can still remember thoughts that I had when I was 20 and 30 years old about seeing seniors and elderly people and older people. And we've even had our own kids tell us, you guys are just too old. You're just not with it, you know. You're the old generation. You don't know what's up. I can remember at 20 and 30 years of age thinking, man, I got a long time before I get there. I'm still young and they can get out and around and look at those people. They just sit on their porch. They can't do anything. They're just so old over there, you know. And then you start reaching that age and you look back and say, wow, it's a lot of years, but it's gone. It was like a vapor. It seems like yesterday. So if it's the Lord's will that I should tarry more years here and not be called home, the call of God's word and God's spirit is take the time now to make it a priority to be lay your foundation on the things of Christ and the truth of his word. Because someday we will be in these conditions and the quality of life will not be measured by our health, but by our inner interaction, relationship with Jesus Christ. If our satisfaction is in Him, if our contentment is in Christ, then then the old house can just fall apart. Put a Band-Aid on it. Keep it going. Because we're getting ready to leave this house to enter into our eternal house with Christ. And again, I cannot help but remember today, older people or people who have health problems, they can't get out, can't come, can't fellowship. Many years ago, we went to Big Bear, to the Presbyterian Conference grounds, with the school and church that I was going to at the time. And I remember our mentor, because he would give a message after breakfast, then we'd have free time, and then after lunch he'd give another study, then we have free time, and then we had dinner and another study, and we have free time to mull around the lodge. And I can remember in the afternoon, after lunch and after the study, we get out there, we're playing softball, and you could play softball. There was different sporting activities you could do, or you could go for a hike, you could do whatever you want. But I always remember looking over at him down by the lake, and he was just sitting there on a rock looking out at the lake. Nobody noticed him. So I went over to him, went down to him, and said, "Excuse me, but you know, you can join us if you want." He says, "No." He says, "You know, I've just come to that time in my life where I identify more with the people who are hurting today." He says, "You young people, you can get out and just enjoy yourselves. But there are people who are hurting today that I know that I need to sit here and pray for." And it just struck me. And then I thought, "Oh, okay, well, just so you know, you're welcome, you know." And I went back and played softball. But that encounter and that message has been ringing home over the years, more so. The more I identify with getting older, the more I identify with being concerned about the people who can't do the things that we do in our younger age. To not only pray for them, but to remember them. Close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you that we still have our youthfulness, though most of it for some of us has diminished, but we still have our health and our energy and the ability to move around. We have our limitations now, but still the freedom to choose to seek to learn of Christ and to lay that foundation in that relationship with Christ. Not only to handle the circumstances of life now, but to handle life in later years. Help us, we pray, to see the wisdom in making decisions, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while we have the opportunity and the energy to do so. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.